John 6:16 through 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Thank you. When the unexpected happens. There's many times I find myself studying a passage of Scripture or reading a passage of Scripture slowly, trying to meditate and take in what I'm reading, and you come upon a reaction or something said or something done that you are not expecting. And we're actually going to talk about the unexpected in this text, but what is not unexpected is that when they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, they were frightened. You kind of anticipate that kind of reaction. The unexpected is seeing Jesus walking on the sea coming near the boat. That's what they were not anticipating. So we're going to talk about this morning from the text and really from this entire day's events for these disciples, when the unexpected happens, when the unexpected happens. Now, as we think about this particular text from the viewpoint of the disciples, and I think that's the correct viewpoint to be taking here, because in this particular passage, it's just Jesus and the disciples. What must it have been like to be one of these disciples in this boat on this particular day? Now, as I was thinking about that, reading through this passage, taking into account last week's message, that when John begins here in verse 16, he says, when evening came, tying last week's passage of feeding the 5,000 with this particular day that this transpired, I begin to just consider and think about all that has taken place in less than 24 hours from the experience and the viewpoint of these disciples. And it seems to me that at this point in our text, when they see Jesus walking on the water, they must have been in a state of exhaustion. I mean, total exhaustion, physical, spiritual, emotional exhaustion. Think about the things that these disciples have walked through in just a matter of hours, just a matter of hours. First of all, as we talked about last week, they are faced with an impossible situation. And that situation is there are 5,000 hungry people sitting before them. And they've been asked the question by Jesus, where can we go buy enough bread? Or how much would it take to buy enough to satisfy this crowd? So they are in the middle of kind of an impossible situation, and a situation that they do not have the resource for. They do not have the answer for in their own selves. Now, that in itself can be a little bit stressful. And I'm sure they were feeling the tension of it. We hear the tension of it in their response to Jesus, right? Philip says, if we had 200 denarii, we couldn't even give them but a small bite. Andrew says, well, we've got a boy here with a meal, but what is that with so many people? So you hear their tone. But then the disciples are asked to help arrange this crowd. Over in Mark's gospel that when Jesus is getting ready to provide this miraculous meal, he says, have the group sit in groups of 50. Now, that takes a little bit of organizing, a little bit of coordination to get 5,000 plus people to sit in groups of 50. Beyond that, Jesus creates this miraculous provision and has the disciples distribute that to this amount of people. Now, imagine just the effort and the on the spot coordination to then distribute all of these loaves and all of these fish coming out to all of these people, providing for them this meal. Now, no doubt it was a joyful endeavor. There's no doubt it was thrilling to be a part of to be one of these disciples, to see this taking place, to be in the middle of this. Must have been a thrilling experience. But at the same time, it did require a certain amount of work and effort. But then think about the disciples were instructed. Now, Jesus says, now what I want you to do is I want you to go gather up all of the leftover fragments so that nothing is lost. So it's not just like they kind of walked through the crowd of 5,000 and, you know, if they saw a sizable piece of bread or something, but everything, every fragment was to be gathered. Again, that must have been thrilling. Because they would have known where all of these fragments came from. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and we're going all over the place picking up leftovers. I mean, it being in the middle of that must have been quite a spiritual high. Yet at the same time, moving through a crowd of 5,000 people to pick up their fragments. Now, I feel for some of the people who work in like Save Mart Center that clean up after the concert. I mean, you know, you look and cups and food and everything's just everywhere and you think, man, the cleanup crew here. Wow. Well, the disciples were the cleanup crew for that occasion. But then there was the exhilaration of taking all of this in, taking everything that's just happened and soaking it in. Now, there must have been something of that happening because they counted up how many baskets. There were 12 full baskets of fragments. Now, think about spiritually just trying to comprehend what's taking place and the sheer excitement and exhilaration of that moment. Think about also that they are hearing the rumble of the crowd and that the crowd is rejoicing. And they hear the mumbling of the crowd that the crowd is concluding, this man must be the prophet that was promised by Moses. So imagine how exciting and uplifting that must be for these disciples. But then comes another turn of event. This large crowd of 5,000 plus conclude that what they need to do now is that they need to take Jesus by force and make him king. Now, imagine being the disciple in between there, being the buffer zone between Jesus and 5,000 people who have determined to make him king by force. Talk about crowd control. I imagine that's exactly what they were attempting to do. Dispel the crowd, control the crowd, while Jesus simply withdrew to a mountain to be by himself. They are dispersing a crowd of 5,000 people who have become very excited and very determined to make Jesus king. Not an easy task. So they disperse the crowd. They get away from the crowd. They follow Jesus' instructions to get down to the boat, get to the other side. And all of that day, there's a lot of spiritual, emotional lows and highs, a lot of effort, a lot of tasks to be accomplished. Now they get into the boat. Jesus is up on the mountain. And I can imagine that just the physical exertion of the day I mean, can you imagine when you finally get to sit down in the boat and the crowd's gone and there's nothing left to do? Whew. You just kind of hear these disciples sighing, breathing a sigh of relief. But it's not over, is it? What a day this has been. Now, I imagine right here at this moment, these disciples are thinking they would not trade the experience of this day for the world. They have been right in the middle of the largest, by scale and proportion, the largest miracle Jesus ever performed. What an remarkable experience. Yet at the same time, I would suggest and assume they're pretty spent from the toil of it, the emotion of it. Now what they must do is row this boat to the other side. Now that wouldn't be too difficult, especially for guys who are, some of them, rugged fishermen. And this is what they do. But coming on at the end of this kind of day might have been a challenge. And then the challenge gets bumped up a notch or two, doesn't it? Because as they began to cross the sea, then they are starting to be faced with some challenge. The wind begins to pick up, the waves begin to pick up and are pushing against their rowing. And the scripture says they have been rowing, they have been fighting these gusty winds now for 3 or 4 miles. That's a long way after a long day. And that's where they're at. So I just think these disciples are probably exhausted physically, spiritually. The exertion of this day probably taking its toll. And that makes what follows all the more totally and completely unexpected. Jesus is getting ready to reveal something to them beyond their imagination. Talk about a spiritual wake up. And even with the previous miracle still fresh in their minds, they're not expecting this. They're rowing away. Jesus is on the mountain. It's been a long day. They're fighting against the wind. They're fighting against the waves. They're just trying to get to the other side. They're not looking for this. This, as we would say, kind of comes totally out of the blue, out of left field, so to speak. They're not anticipating what is about to unfold. And in the middle of their exhaustion, Jesus is getting ready to instill within them an extremely important lesson about the unexpected. About the unexpected. Now let's think for a moment before we actually get into these verses, 16 through 21. Let's talk about, just a few minutes, impossible situations and unexpected circumstances. Impossible situations. That's what we were talking about last week with the feeding of the 5,000. And unexpected circumstances. Think about, again, the events of this day as they have unfolded. The disciples move straight from an impossible situation, feeding 5,000 people with nothing except one small little meal. And then they go right into an unexpected circumstance. Now that's an eventful day. That's quite a series of events. They had never really, these are the kinds of things you don't plan for. You don't anticipate. It seems that probably the DR team can relate a little bit to unexpected circumstance, I think. Last weekend was for them, I believe, unanticipated how the events unfolded. I can imagine the disciples, if they had smartphones, would have texted someone and said, "You would not believe the day I just had." But this is real life, isn't it? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is day-to-day living in this world, impossible situations and unexpected circumstances or events come our way without us anticipating, being able to plan ahead, being able to strategically move through this situation without any reaction on our part, because we know it's all coming and so we've kind of laid it all out. Sometimes life comes at us all at once, all at one time, all in one day, all in one phone call, all in one month, all in one week. I grew up with a common saying that says, when it rains, you guys are familiar with that? See, I didn't think Central Valley would know that one. I thought it was, when it's hot, it's brutal. Something like that. When it rains, it pours. Living life always entails this. Facing impossible situations, learning once again, over and over, our insufficiency, our dependency on the Lord. Facing the unexpected, not anticipating what's unfolding, not knowing what to do, not understanding what's going on, not being able to explain it. The wonder of it all. But we can be sure that for every impossible situation and for every unexpected event, Jesus is teaching us a lesson. God is instructing us. Jesus is growing us in our faith. He is maturing us in our dependency upon Him, our worship of Him, our glory to Him. That's exactly what I see, what I believe is happening with these disciples in John chapter 6. And taking into account feeding 5,000, Jesus walking on the water, impossible, unexpected, I see for us what I believe is happening with these disciples, two massive, massive spiritual lessons for us. Two powerful life-sustaining lessons for us. And the reason why they're so powerful and life-sustaining is because we're going to be in these. If we're not today, we will be in one of these, or like these disciples, in both of these, even quite at the same time. These faith-building lessons prepare us. They prepare us. We don't know exactly what will happen, but we can be prepared when we don't know what will happen happens. To prepare us when we are faced again with something that is too far beyond us to answer or resolve or control. And they will also sustain us when we are in the middle of these situations, asking questions like, what is going on? What do I do? What is happening? The first lesson that I want us just to let settle in our hearts is to see that right in the middle of the impossible, right in the middle of the unexpected, when these disciples are right in the facing these circumstances, Jesus is sovereignly and calmly and completely in control. Now, the disciples in both of these situations experience a degree of realizing we are not in control. Jesus never experienced that sensation. The impossible and the unexpected tend to alarm us, to catch us off guard, to make us off balance. We sense not having control. We sense apprehension. We sense anxiety. We sense helplessness. We sense fear. We sense doubt. Let us always take refuge and comfort that no matter how life may twist and turn, no matter what we may face, our God is in total sovereign control of every aspect of the entire matter. And you sense the despair in the disciples when they face the 5,000 hungry people. What is this meal with so many? The impossible situation would breed despair. What are we to do? There's nothing that actually we can do. And the text tells us in today's text, the disciples were frightened. They were filled with fear facing the unanticipated, the unexpected. Impossibilities breed despair. Unexpected breeds fear. But notice Jesus. And this is where we have to turn our eyes in these situations. Notice Jesus. There is not an ounce of despair in Jesus when he's before 5,000 hungry people. Not the slightest indication. In fact, he so very calmly and so very simply says, "Have them sit down. Have them sit down." I just see that as wonderfully comforting. Extraordinarily comforting. Jesus is sovereignly, calmly, totally in control. There's not an ounce of fear in Jesus when he appears on the water, is there? Now, this is kind of a unique take on this text, I know, but the disciples don't say, "Jesus, you're walking on the water." And he doesn't say, "What?" No, he's just... The text says he's just walking on... Now, remember what kind of water this is. Even beyond that, it's water, right? But what kind of water? The wind is blowing. The waves are blowing. These disciples are rowing against this. And Jesus is just kind of strolling up to the boat. No sense of fear or desperation. He is completely in control. Calmly, sovereignly. In control. He simply says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Let us not despair in the impossible or fear in the unexpected, but let us rest in him who is sovereignly in control. Lesson 2. What we view as impossible or unexpected has been sovereignly ordained for our good. You can't escape the conclusion in these narratives that Jesus is sovereignly orchestrating these events, placing these disciples in this situation. I mean, in the feeding of the 5,000, John tells us he asked Philip, "How are you going to feed these people?" Because he was putting him to a test. He says, John says, because he knew what he was going to do. You see that? Jesus is maneuvering Philip to understand this impossible situation, to help him understand what his resources are and what are the resources of Christ. He's orchestrating this. He's orchestrating this entire encounter on the boat. He tells the disciples, "You guys go ahead. I'll see you on the other side." And you can't help but kind of read between the lines here, right? He knew what he was going to do. He knew how he was going to meet up with them. The wind and the waves did not surprise Jesus. He's orchestrating something. He knew they were exhausted. He knew about the winds. He knew what their reaction would be. The point is, he arranged these events because he had something very good in mind for them. For them. Something wonderful, something faith-building, something life-sustaining for them to understand, for them to believe, for them to know about Christ. For them to cling to. He's going to reveal to them something about him. And he's situating them in a place where they will see it. Without a doubt, they will see it. My friends, we can be sure, as children of God the Father, we can be sure He has the same purposes in mind for us when He sovereignly orchestrates that we find ourselves in like situations. He has something good in mind for us. So let's talk about now lessons for the unexpected. So there's two lessons for us from this text. God is in control. God has something good in mind for us, good in store for us. Something about Him, something life-sustaining and faith-building. Now let's look particularly at today's text, lessons for the unexpected. The unexpected. When the unexpected happens in life, it's easy for us to quickly become confused. Because when everything's kind of in routine, everything's kind of normal, whatever normal means, right? We think we have a sense of knowledge, a sense of knowing how things should be and how things are going to be and how to move through this day or how to move through this situation. But all of a sudden, when the unanticipated happens, confusion easily sets in because we're not sure what to do now. We're not sure how to react with this situation. Anxiety may set in. Because we don't know what to do, and we want to do something, and we feel like we have to do something, and we should do something, and there's nothing we can do. And as these disciples, quite often, their reaction is simply some type of element of fear. Some type of element of fear. Which is how these disciples responded. That's interesting that when Mark records this episode in his gospel, he says the disciples thought they saw a ghost, which would be a kind of a natural conclusion, right? Because people are not supposed to be doing this. What we see happening, this must be a ghost. But I think we need to make a little bit of a distinction here, because I don't think the fear here is kind of the quick, startled, momentary shock. For example, when, I don't know, maybe your 10-year-old daughter or your 8-year-old son jumps out from behind the corner and yells, "Boo!" And for a half a second, you're startled. Well, there's more here than this, right? Because in a half a second, after you catch your breath, you realize there's really nothing here to be frightened about. And you're embarrassed and they're laughing and all that good stuff. And you're thinking, "I'll get you back." So you wait until they're asleep and I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This is not that, because this doesn't come and go. They don't realize this is not a momentary flash. This is unexplainable. This is a settled fear that I don't want to be here. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's happening. This is a ghost. I'm not used to this. This is totally. So this is a fear that I am out of control. I don't know what to do. I don't know what this is. We can't get out of here. We're in a boat. The sea is rough. There's no escaping. We're trapped. You know, what's going on in their heart and their mind is a great fear. Mark says in his gospel that these men, these rugged fishermen, cried out. Now, that's a scene of fear. These men are in the boat crying out of fear of what they're seeing. This is unsettled, unexpected, unanticipated fear is gripping these men where they are. They're paralyzed with fear. They are not in control. They can't explain what's happening. Now, what happens next? What happens next is vital. It is vital for our understanding and our faith, because what happens next dissolves the fear. Jesus speaks. That's it. Jesus speaks. And these men who were wailing, crying out in fear, the fear disappears when Jesus speaks. The voice of Jesus. Let this be the first lesson for us. Lessons for the unexpected. Here's the first lesson for us to take in our hearts where the fear will arise. When we are in the middle of the unanticipated and the unexpected, listen for Christ. Position yourself, position ourselves to hear from Jesus. He is speaking. And there are three immediate places to go to hear Jesus speaking. Go to the Word of God. Because what Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, He is still speaking to troubled and fear-filled hearts today. Jesus' word to these disciples is Jesus' word for us today. It's not like we're waiting around for some new word. This is the Word of God for us in the unexpected. Hear the words of Jesus. He is speaking. That's why I love when, even in our song worship portion of our corporate worship, that we are reading Scripture and we're hearing Scripture and praying Scripture and singing Scripture, because we are to hear. We are to hear Jesus speaking from the Word. Secondly is prayer. We go to the Word and then we go to prayer. Here, as the Spirit will take the Word of God and, so to speak, massage it into our hearts and into our minds and our spirits, that we might be able to take in. Because sometimes we create an unnecessary distance between the Word of God and us here today. And we say things that are not faith accurate, like, well, I know Jesus said that to those guys in the boat, but he's not saying that to me. Yes, He is. And we go to God in prayer, and the Spirit takes that word and moves it into our faith, moves it into our heart, that we can hear Jesus is not just telling those disciples, do not be afraid. Jesus is telling me today, do not be afraid. We go to the Word, we go to prayer. And the other ready, available, accessible means of grace to us, we go to the fellowship of the saints. We go to church. Not for routine. Hebrews says, exhorting one another. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And not just church at 10:30, right? But the fellowship of the saints is believers with believers throughout the week, in a community and a fellowship of faith. The first lesson for the unexpected: hear the words of Christ to our hearts. Hear what God is saying to His people. Go to His Word. Go to prayer. Go to church. Go to church. But it's not only that Jesus spoke, is it? It's not just hearing the voice of Jesus, but it's what He spoke as well, isn't it? It's what He spoke. He said, it is I. do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Apparently, fear is a common human experience, and I would say a common Christian journey experience. You know, at least a dozen times, maybe a few more occasions in the Gospels, Jesus tells His disciples, or in His teaching, He says, do not be afraid, or fear not. Over a dozen times, do not be afraid. It must be a common reaction, a common notion, to sense that somehow we are alone, somehow that we are in danger, somehow that we are unprotected, somehow that we are vulnerable. Isn't the same with us in any given situation in life? It may be the unanticipated or unexpected. It may not. It may be another scenario in life. It may just simply be the unknown that we do anticipate or question. All of these different various experiences in life cause fear to rise up within us. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're fearful, we're anxious over this situation. And we begin to ask questions like this that really feed the fear, that pour wood into this flame of fear. Questions like, what will happen next? What will happen to me? What will happen to my family? What are we to do? What can we do? Where are we to go? How do we solve this? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to survive this? What's going on? And on and on and on. And the more we question and the more we contemplate and look at the situation itself, the more that fear grips and wrestles with our heart. So here's the second lesson. The second lesson is that when we do hear Jesus speak, we will hear Him say to us in our fear, in our frightened state, do not be afraid. Now, coming from other people, that's not really helpful, is it? Don't feel what you're feeling. Someone ever told you that? Just don't feel what you're feeling. Oh, okay, all right, I'll just change my feelings right now. Oh, I feel better. But coming from the sovereign Lord Jesus, maybe through the godly counsel of someone who points us to Scripture, Jesus says, do not fear. In the fearful situation, Jesus says, do not fear. Notice that just that one word from the Lord, without changing the circumstance, dispels the fear. One word from our Lord is powerful enough to dispel any fear, no matter how dark or how daunting the fear may be, no matter how tight fear may have gripped our hearts. Because when Jesus says to us, do not be afraid, all of a sudden we are reminded that He is with us. Now, that was remarkable for these disciples right now. He's not a ghost. It's Him. And He's with us. And when we hear Jesus tell us in His Word, by the Spirit of God, through the church, do not be afraid, we are reminded that Christ is with us. And if He is with us, who or what can be against us? Not only reminds us that He is with us, it reminds us that He is watching over us. He would say to us in our fear, do not be afraid, because He is very aware that we are afraid. He is watching over us. He is caring for us. He knows exactly our situation, and He speaks into that situation of fear. Do not be afraid, reminding us He's caring for us. He knows exactly what I'm going through. He knows exactly what I'm facing. He knows exactly where I'm at. And if He is watching over us, if He is watching over us, nothing or no one can snatch us out of His hand. This, my friends, is the third and greatest lesson for us in the unexpected. So first is that we hear from Jesus. Second lesson is that when Jesus speaks in a fearful situation, He will tell us, do not be afraid, reminding us of His, that He is with us, that He is caring for us. The third greatest lesson is this. It's not the removal of the circumstance that we need the most, which is what we tend to think. In the middle of the unanticipated, unexpected, or fearful condition, our immediate answer is to get out of that condition, to get out of that circumstance, and then we will be okay. When in actuality, it's not the removal of that situation that we need the most. It's Him. It is Christ that we need the most. Because if He is in the boat with us, we're glad. We're glad. It's Christ that we need the most, and He promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. Three great lessons for us in the unexpected. And so third and final today, what to do when the unexpected happens. What to do when the unexpected, the unanticipated in life comes our way. Now, we've already talked about a few things, right? We should listen for His words, and we should lean upon Him, trust in Him, and rest in Him. The third thing then to do in the unexpected is rest assured He will carry us and sustain us to where He would have us be, to where He wants us to go. Look at verse 21. Then they were glad to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Rest assured He will carry us, He will sustain us. Those questions that we are asking in the middle of the impossible, or in the middle of the unexpected, those questions that we are asking, let us remember, He's not asking those questions. In fact, He's already answered them. And He's taking us to the place where we will see the answers in His timing as we grow in Him. Now think about that. They were glad to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Could that have been another miracle here? Why, surely it could have. I mean, if Jesus can walk on water, He can take a boat from the middle of the lake to the shore in a second. If He can make a meal for 5,000 out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, then He can transport a boat. So that's not really a question, is it? That could well be the indication of this text. There's also another indication of possibility in the text from the viewpoint of the disciples. Could be these disciples are rowing away. The sea is rough. The wind is contrary. They are tired. They are battling along the way. They've been at this for 4 miles, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water, and they are seized with fear. They are frightened. They're in the middle of this. They're out of control. This is unexplainable. They do not know what is going on. And yet they don't realize they're getting ready to hit land. They can't realize that. This is undoing them. This is undoing them. They gladly receive Jesus into the boat. They arrive at shore. I look at that and I see a tremendous illustration for the trials of the Christian life. So often, because of what we are experiencing in life or in our hearts or in our faith, the struggles that we are encountering, the season of trial that we may be enduring or the unexpected that we may be enduring. It's actually, if we could step above life and look at our timeline, it's actually almost over. But we can't see that. We can't know that. We can't understand that. But the shore is nearby. The shore is nearby. So all we can do is what? Gladly receive Jesus. Gladly trust in Jesus. Gladly hear from Jesus. Gladly believe in Jesus. And the end of this season of unexpected or this season of the impossibility, the end is right around the corner. What an illustration for the trials of the Christian life. What an illustration for the Christian life. The Christian life that can at times cause us, whether from persecution or turmoil or tragedy or whatever it may be, calls us to give heed to the enemy and think, this is not worth it. I'm not going to make it. Doesn't pay off. It's no good to be a Christian. It's no good to live this way. It just causes more trouble. It causes more heartache, more difficulty. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to get in. But when we receive Jesus, when we hear from Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, for every believer, heaven is just around the corner. This race is almost run. Jesus, when we are believing in Him and hearing from Him, He will get us to shore. He didn't leave those disciples out in the middle of that sea, struggling against the wind and the waves. He came to them and He carried them to shore. And He does it for every single one of us daily. Daily. And in life. It really wasn't their rowing that got them there, was it? What made the difference is His presence. Jesus was with them. And they got to shore. That may be our greatest lesson from this text today. Jesus was with them. And He got them to where they were going. Impossible situations, unexpected circumstances. Christ is in control. Christ is good. And Christ will get us home. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your sustaining, faith-building, life-giving grace. That whatever turns and twists may happen in life, wherever You may lead us, whatever situation You may place us in, that You are working for our good, for us to look upon You, for us to once again be amazed at Your sufficiency, at Your grace, at Your power, at Your provision, that in all things Christ is truly supreme. Father, may you do in us what you were doing in those disciples so many years ago. Would you build our faith that we might be rooted firmly in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That whatever happens, wherever life takes us, Christ is taking us to the shore. To him be glory, and in his name we give you praise. Amen.